In this episode of Movie Rollers, we talk about Miss Sloane, Collateral Beauty, and Allied. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, you as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
So,
we are square-eyed.
I know, right? This is that end-of-year crush that we keep talking about.
It was a rush to get to the finish line.
It's funny. Up until October, I think this year was unremarkable. And then suddenly we've had a
plethora.
Yeah, an absolute downpour of quality movies. Not all of them, I think, make this year special in any way, but we'll see once award season kind of comes and goes. And you guys at San Diego Film Critics have had your vote, I think.
We voted, and I'm so proud of our winners and our nominations. I think we didn't, it's bad to say it ourselves. I think our picks were solid, diverse, just a real consideration of the entire year, I think, which a lot of other bodies haven't done, I think, as well. But I think we had some really good picks, and these were really – it was hard to get to five to put in the nomination list. I mean, Joe, you saw how much I agonized just to even get to my top list of five for each of the categories. But then to choose the winners was – horrible.
I mean, I had voter's remorse. Like, we were in that room, and for some of those categories, I could have easily championed every one of those five nominations. And it was just, then it goes to, you go to your heart, like, I like this person more, and it's not fair because...
Oh, this one's already got a nomination. One's going to win.
And then the minute you tick off on that name, you say, okay, I'm going to go with this one. And you hand in your vote, then you're like, damn, I should have voted for this other. That happened two or three times, and I think that speaks to the
what
quality.
What a great year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that's how it should be, right? I mean,
we
don't want to have easy landslide victories. I think we do need to, and it's very fortunate that we're in that position to have, you know, so many quality movies or performances this year. So,
and I think what I'm really, like, you already mentioned this, Rashmi, but what I'm really happy about is that studios do this horrible thing where they deliberately release all their best fare literally in the last two or three weeks of the year, and they hope that, you know, what we've seen most recently is going to stick in our brains and we'll nominate them. And it's kind of a really cheesy thing to do, but I think we've kind of almost were able to set that aside. We were saying, just because this is a Denzel Washington movie or this is a Martin Scorsese movie, we are not, and we've just seen it, we are not going to let that drive our decision-making. We are still going to look at all the other movies we've seen around the year. So I think that's good. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And so, we have a great, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say this other thing, great selection of movies in the best foreign film, best documentary, best animated movie. I think I'm really proud.
Yeah.
And all our nominations are posted on our website. Folks should go and see.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest that.
It's a great to-do list.
The sdfcs.org. Is the website where you can find the nominations and the ultimate winners. So do go check out San Diego Film Critics Society. I think you guys have done a really good job this year. And I haven't seen the Globe nominations, but I think...
some overlap.
There's a reasonable overlap, and we'll have to see if any movies, high quality movies, sneak in before the Oscar nominations in January. So, but the big winner for you guys was Hell or High Water.
Yes,
mm-hmm. A movie that I think we unanimously loved here on Movie Rollers. I think Yasti, you hadn't seen it at the time of the review, but you've seen it since
and it's incredible. It's just perfect.
Yeah,
it really is perfect, and in what it wants to do. It doesn't want to do anything else, but what it does, my God, it's a classic.
Terrific. So you can either Google for it or you can go to sdfcs.org. Okay, we're going to skip our Netflix picks this week because we have a packed episode here. We have three movies to talk about, lots to say about all of them, I'm sure. So just to recap, we have Miss Sloan, Collateral Beauty, and Allied. So let's maybe start with Miss Sloan.
Sure. So in the high-stakes world of political power brokers, Elizabeth Sloan, who Jessica Chastain plays, is the most sought-after and formidable lobbyist in D.C. Known equally for her cunning and her track record of success, she has always done whatever is required to win. But when she takes on the most powerful opponent of her career, she finds that winning may come at too high a price. So this is directed by John Madden, written by Jonathan Pereira, and it stars Jessica Chastain, Mark Strong, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Alison Pill, Michael Stuhlbarg. This has got a great cast. Sam Watson, John Lithgow, amongst many others. So, we all saw this one. Joe, why don't you start us off today? What did you think of Miss Sloan?
You know, oftentimes you say that movies are greater than the sum of their parts. I think this movie is equal to the sum of its parts, but there is a particularly outstanding part in it, and that is the performance of Jessica Chastain, which I think carries this movie. You know, it's a great thriller. I think in the moment it kind of came together. I think it was a little too clever for its own good in terms of, you know, storytelling that created this little sense that I had, especially in the final third when everything comes together of, yeah, you know, this had me until now, but now I don't really believe this stuff. But boy, was Sloan, boy, was Chastain mesmerizing to watch. I could watch her, you know, reading the newspaper. I mean, she just does it with such conviction. She gives everything to this character, and I hope to see her on the best actress list for 2016. Yasti, what do you think?
No, I think this is a good movie. I think this is might even be a great movie. It's directed by John Madden, who's, funnily enough, you know, a very accomplished British director who made most famously Shakespeare in Love. And he did those Marigold.
I loved, yeah. Which is The Debt. I always talk about
The Debt. He made the Marigold Hotel movies. So it's interesting that he would take on this story, which is, you know, about high stakes, you know, political lobbying in Washington, D.C. And it's hard to talk about this movie without being political. So I will not try not to be political. But I kind of felt that, especially in light of what happened in the current election season, this movie kind of reminded me how far we have to go. You know, particularly because there were scenes in this movie where things were happening, and I almost felt like this is how it must have felt like during Hillary Clinton's campaign and during everything that's going on, and how crazy it gets and how intense it gets and how different people are playing all around you and so much is at stake. So it really drives home that point. And I think it kind of made me sad that this movie also makes a woman kind of pay the price for being very ambitious, or kind of hold her to an unfair standard simply because she wants to be an ambitious, powerful woman. And I think in the current climate where, you know, Trump has prevailed over Hillary Clinton, it kind of gives it a little bit more resonance, for me at least. But I just thought after this halfway point, this movie just gathered so much steam. It just goes rollicking, and it just kind of got on a horse, and it kind of went. And I was on that ride the whole time, and I kind of enjoyed it. The very, very, very last ending is a little gimmicky. It's silly. It's cheap, yeah, and all that. You may or may not buy it. It may turn some people off. It's a little too
Scooby-Doo.
But be that, but be that as it may, I think it's an essential film. I think people should watch it. And I think, if nothing else, just watch it for Jessica Chastain. Man, she chews up that scenery like hell. She's like, get out of my way. I'm chewing this, and I'm going to eat this, and I'm going to eat that. She just bites into it with so much
gusto.
And she makes it all work.
Like, Miss Sloan is a lot like the real Miss Chastain.
You think?
I think she has that edge to her.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, it doesn't come off as a caricature. I mean, it's a fully realized character, to me at least. I loved it.
There is no doubt this movie is just very timely. I think in any other period, it wouldn't be as well received. This is a smart movie with a great central character who is played expertly by Jessica Chastain. And although I really enjoyed the movie and was thoroughly entertained by it, like you were, Yazdi, it's totally ludicrous and completely unbelievable, which is fine.
Yeah.
It just takes away from how good it could have been if it was a little bit more restrained.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly my issue with it, because I think a lot of the shenanigans that it portrays in terms of how lobbying, political lobbying works, and the whole Washington machine can be gamed and played and manipulated, you know, in much the same way that the season one of House of Cards kind of enlightened me.
Yes,
there's a very sinister thing to that, that, you know, we should all be more conscious of when we look at what really goes on in the halls of power in any country, not just the USA.
And news cycles.
And I think they overcook it, you know, because towards the end, they make it, you know, very conspiracy and very, you know, the characters, you know, double dealing, manipulating is beyond what I think would play out. And I think, you know,
well, it's also that whole quick.
It undoes the point it makes,
right?
In that it shows itself to be a work of fiction, whereas I think it could have been a lot more.
It could have been like, who is this really based on?
Hard hitting if it felt less fantastical.
But I don't blame the direction or the acting. I think it's the plot. It's the writing. It's the script.
And this is a first time script writer.
Correct. I also really like the cast in the movie. You know, they're all so good. Jake Lacy, who we don't see much, is in a very unusual role here. Mark Strong.
He's brilliant.
He's lovely in this. Yeah, he did it.
He's really good, but I really feel like he came into his own here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't know, I got a sense that this can't be too far from the truth. You know, this can't be too far, as fantastic and as overcooked as it is, this can't be too far from the truth. And the other thing I liked is that, you know, the Jessica Chastain character is so strong and ambitious and driven. And, you know, she makes everybody shake. And, you know, she kind of chooses who, you know, she chooses her men who she's going to sleep with. And she has no regret about it. You know, kind of she's very modern in a way.
Well, she's a woman in a man's body, right? Yeah, in a sense, that sounds a bit strange, but she almost...
A man in a woman's body more, wouldn't it?
I was going to say a woman in a man's world, but okay, you know, in her body too, But I really like that the real love story in the movie was actually between Jessica Chastain and Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Yes.
I mean, a not love story in a sexual way, but a love story in terms of what each meant to the other. And I think that little piece is done with a lot of flair, a lot of delicacy there, and I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, I agree with everything you guys have said. I love that wardrobe. I want Jessica Chastain's wardrobe in this movie. It's stunning. I mean, she looks amazing. Jessica Chastain is a beautiful woman anyway. Mm-hmm. And she always looks good in whatever she does, even when she's in a space suit in, you know,
The Martian.
The Martian. But she is, I mean, the wardrobe is as part of this movie, is as much a part of the movie. It really adds to the character here. It's very stiff and it's very pristine and it's very...
there's a little bit of a shoe fetish in there.
Clean. And I was going to say, I mean, I wish I could walk in high heels because I would go and buy half of those shoes. But great
But there's
wardrobe.
A lot of slipping on and off of shoes. I mean, I've got this kind of strong visual. When I think about that movie, I see, like, you know, a woman taking her shoes off at the end
but
of the
I
day.
Think but that's, it's, but it's I think metaphor. That's intentional. Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, metaphor, I think it's a very clever use of wardrobe in disarming the character. And then when the character puts on their armor.
Right.
I think her shoes are her armor in a sense, right? Because, I mean, I know you guys have never worn power. Heels, but putting a pair of heels on puts you... it changes your posture.
Yeah.
So very, very clever. And I think Gugu Mbatha-Raw was very good in this as well. I mean,
so
she was
good
great.
In this. It's a little role, but she actually the heart
really
of the movie,
well.
I think,
in a way.
Costume designed by Georgina Yarhi, should you choose to contact her.
I think I put her down as a nomination, actually.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Only other thing to mention for me was the John Lithgow performance.
Mm-hmm.
That was spoken up to us at the beginning of the movie by the press.
Press
liaison for the movie. But, you know, it was great.
And there was a lobbyist at our screening, remember?
Yeah.
We saw the screening where there was actually a lobbyist present who was going to talk about what they do.
A local San Diego.
But the reason I call this one out is simply because not for one second did I not believe that he was exactly he was in the film.
He's always and good.
He can do this in his sleep. He's so good.
But he has such versatility, and we forget that with, you know, with him. He plays such a wide variety of roles. He does comedy, there's drama.
Do you remember him in The Accountant?
That's right. You know, I mean,
he was in Dexter.
But this is potentially a, you know, I would see him on my list as a best supporting here, because
it's
a little role, but it's right. But it really does a lot for the movie, the plausibility of that character is essential to believing what's going on here in Washington.
But even Sam Waterston is so good.
These are, you know, veteran actors. They that is why they are the greats. I mean, John Lithgow, he was in Love is Strange last year. He was a co-lead in that. We forget about this. He just put in their work time and time again. They're better every movie they are in, and people just say, oh, that's John Lithgow.
Hopefully they'll have their Bruce Stern moment in a coming movie.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have two more movies to talk about today. Okay. So let's wrap up with scores.
Okay, I'll go first. Yeah. I think this is worth a watch if you like courtroom drama. And just because this is another facet of Jessica Chastain's unbelievable acting ability. Gosh. 8 out of 10.
Esty?
Yeah, I was going to give it a 7, but I'm going to bump it up to an 8 out of 10 as well. Yeah,
it feels like it's more deserving of an 8.
Yeah, because it's kind of lost in the shuffle of everything else that's out there, which is flashier, grander. But this is actually a very good movie. It's very topical. Like I said, watching it made me kind of sad about where we are right now politically. It's just very well directed. It has kind of a fun, you know, crowd-pleasing ending, which you may or may not buy. So I think it's just a very well-realized piece of work, which is very timely. So 8 out of 10, definitely.
Joe?
You know, I was with Yazdi, I was going to give this a 7, but in thinking about it, the movie has climbed in my regard since watching it. And I think the only thing that detracted from it in the moment was the plausibility issues that we've already discussed. So I won't go there again. I mean, I do think that the movie is going to be a little polarizing for those people who are, you know, and I'll put it on the table. I mean, the movie is very strong in its opinions about the gun lobby. So, you know, I think there are people who have certain political persuasions for whom this
but
will
it represents
not work.
An alternative view as well, which I thought was interesting.
I don't know that it's very balanced in that regard. And I've seen the movie being criticized for its liberal roots, and, you know, oh well.
Hollywood.
Politics aside, you know, I think this is terrific stuff. 8 out of 10. The Chastain performance is worth the price of admission alone. She is superb in this.
Stunning.
And if she is not on the list of Oscar nominations, something's gone very horribly wrong.
Well, again, it's one of those years, Joe.
It's
no.
just because there's too
we
many.
Saw, we saw it like, play out in, right. in our own nominations.
Like, would you have her, or would you have Annette Bening if there was only one slot remaining? You know, it comes down to all these things.
She met. Yeah.
I know which one I would do, but
Annette Bening, you would. I know you would.
Totally not Annette Bening.
I was going to say
Sloan.
Jessica.
Oh, I would do Jessica too.
But I think I'm a bit of a Jessica Chastain fanboy.
She's great.
She just does everything
so
well.
8, that's a good score.
That's great from us.
So then on to?
All right, let's move on to movie number 2 of the week, which is Collateral Beauty. So I'll give this a quick introduction. This is directed by David Frankel, who we know for, Devil's Wear Prada, I think, is his biggest movie. Hope Springs was a movie that he did a couple of years ago, which again came out to mixed reviews. I'm not familiar with his movie from 2014, One Chance. But he's back here with what is essentially a star vehicle. I mean, this movie has a number of big names. Will Smith, Helen Mirren, Edward Norton, Michael Peña, Naomi Harris, Keira Knightley, Kate Winslet. I mean, wow, what an ensemble cast this movie has. And thematically, or rather, not necessarily thematically, but from a plot perspective, the story is about a successful New York advertising executive who suffers a great tragedy and then retreats from his life. His concerned friends try to desperately reconnect with him, and he ends up seeking answers from the universe by writing letters to love, time, and death. But it's not until his notes bring unexpected personal responses that he can begin to understand how these constants interlock in a life fully lived. So, Guys, what did you think of Collateral Beauty?
So, God, I can talk about... There's a lot to say about this film. Let me just get it out of the way. It's a bad film. But I kind of feel some degree of affection for it. It's gotten 14% on the Tomato Meter, and I don't think it's 14% bad. Personally, I think there is... You know, Again, I'm just going to come out and say it. It's a crappy plot. It's a stupid, stupid, stupid plot, which should never work, you know, and it does not work. But my God, you've got these A-list actors. You've got Helen Mirren and you've got Kate Winslet.
The you've collective got number of Oscars and nominations.
Right,
yeah.
Edward Norton, and you've got, you know, who am I missing? I mean,
the other guy.
Michael Pena, and, you know, these people... You know, they've all come together for this film, and it's fun to watch them. But God, I mean, I don't even know how this movie came to be. They should have known at some point that this is not working. But there were parts of it which worked for me. In fact, if I know somebody who is a kind of emotional person who likes to be, I might even recommend the movie to them.
Rashmi.
I was dreading watching this movie because the trailer just looked so hammy to me. But I'm pleased to say it's an easy watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a reasonable holiday family movie. But here's the problem. It's trying too hard to emulate It's a Wonderful Life or A Miracle on 34th Street or A Christmas Carol or even parts of The Wizard of Oz. And it just exhausted me by watching something try so hard. This isn't going to be a classic in any way, shape, or form. I agree with Yazzie that the 14% is a little bit low.
Yeah.
It's really well acted. I mean, how could it not be with that cast? The problem is you can see the cogs turning. It's so mechanical and so clunky and so predictable in how it's put together. And that's where the problem lies for me.
Yep. This one gets a big oops from me as well. I think... I could see what they were going for here. I think, you know, the ideas aren't horrible. I think there's something, like you say, It's a Wonderful Life-ish about this, or It's a Christmas Carol, or, you know, something there. But it's so badly assembled. And this is the one thing that, despite the cast... the caliber of the cast.
Yeah.
Everyone phoned this one home. I think that this one, or phoned this one in. I mean, this. Come on, when you look at someone like Ed Norton or Kate Winslet, and you don't believe them, you know that something has gone tragically wrong with the way that this movie has been edited, or cut, or written. And I think it's written. But some of the lines of dialogue are just disastrous. And I felt like cringing at some point during the movie. And that's really a sad thing to say. I mean, I think, I don't know where and how it went so badly, but, you know, I was essentially bored for most of the movie because I did know where it was going, and it went exactly where I wanted it, where I was expecting it to.
Yeah, I just want to see a movie where somebody coughs and they don't die eventually, you know? In every movie, it's such a cliche. Somebody starts coughing. And then, you know, of course, that shorthand for something bad's happened to this person and he's going to die. It's
right.
Like, don't go there. That's a bad... It's like, you know, the two leads walking into the sunset at the end. Don't go there. That's a tired cliche. And that, you know... But I do agree that... It's so much fun to watch Keira Knightley and Helen Mirren especially, and, you know, Michael Pena and Kate Winslet and Edward Norton. It's fun to watch them because they're good actors. We like them. But, you know, Hollywood gets a lot of grief for rewriting and triple writing and quadruple writing scripts. You know, somebody writes a script and they send it for... whatever
rewrite, collaborative stuff. Groupthink.
And I always hate that because you're just diluting somebody's original vision. But in this case, the script feels so unformed. It just feels like somebody just has the scaffolding that nobody is actually bothered to kind of then put you know, put the drywall around it or put the carpeting or, you know, none of it. It's just scaffolding. And somebody should have taken that script. I think the concept is very interesting, but it needs to be developed more. So I think I don't blame any of the actors. I don't even necessarily blame the director. I just blame the writing.
I mean, the other thing is it had this booming score that kind of told you, and I think you guys, Yazzie, you always point this out. Yeah. Joe, you point this out a lot. It's a problem when the score has to tell you how to feel and that the emotion of the scene doesn't just capture how you should feel. And so I felt like this was too big a score for the size of this movie in some ways. But I have to say, I do think New York is captured beautifully in this movie. And I like that it's the holiday season.
Yeah.
You know, and I did enjoy it. I can't say I didn't enjoy it. It was enjoyable in the moment. And I think that, you know, it's about death and loss, but it's not as subtle. And I know we're gonna review this one in a future podcast, A Monster Calls.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't even hold a candle up to that one. Not to give too much away about how I feel. But Will Smith, again, he's just missing it. You know, I think Will Smith is a good actor, but he needs to recognize where his strengths are. And it's not in this high drama, and it's not in...
Tell me the truth.
Oh, yeah.
You know...
the football movie.
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Concussion.
So, yeah. Concussion. So, I don't know. It's trying so hard, you know?
I mean, it does look very beautiful. I mean, I do like movies set in New York City, especially around the holidays.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
It gives you a good feeling.
Although, you know, like that Naomi Harris's home looks like, you know...
Yeah, well, creative, how much money like does crate, she must
right,
earn?
As,
right.
As a counselor, she's like, that looks like a Crate and Barrel catalog. Her whole home, you know, it's so huge. But anyway, we set that aside. The other thing which really always bothers me, and I think if I have to poop over this movie... The one thing I'm going to poop over it more than anything else is I really dislike using children in peril or children who are going to die as a plot device. It's cheap and you can use it, but then do it justice. Like, you know, we've seen very, very dark themes in Manchester by the Sea. We've seen very dark themes in other movies, Sophie's Choice, etc. But there it was handled with so much more respect and, you know, with authenticity. Here, you know, it just becomes a plot device, and it's a terrible plot device, and it comes off cheap. And it sounds like I hate this movie. I don't actually. I enjoyed it, but it that's unforgivable for me to use. You know, Sandra Bullock did it with Gravity. It was done with Sandra Bullock's character in Gravity. It was done with, most recently, with Arrival. Okay, a similar thing, you know, about children dying. And it seems like it's now script writers, you know, shorthand for building conflict, you know, in the central character, just have their child die. And that's really nasty.
Or come a reason on. For them to change their behavior in a huge way.
Come on, find something better. That's lazy. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, let's wind this one up, please. I don't want to poop on this anymore. Okay, I'll start. So unfortunately, I still don't know what collateral beauty is, even though there's a whole segment that tries to describe what it is. It's a really stupid, hardworking title for... Yeah, anyway, it's not a bad movie. It's a reasonable holiday movie for this year. I think the whole family can go and watch it. I think you have to be on the emotional side of the spectrum, I think, to appreciate it in some way. This is like the opposite of Star Wars. you know, Rogue One. 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 5 as well. I think... This is classic back of an airplane stuff, right? This is the kind of movie that you can watch. It doesn't require a lot of brain power to follow it along. And, you know, if you keep your expectations in check, it's not horrible. It's not a waste of your time. It's not like, you know, give me those 2 hours back. It's just not a good movie. And I think when you assemble, you know, this caliber of players, one does go in expecting more. And one hopes that they're given material with which to shine, and they just didn't have it here. So, you know, 5 out of 10, and it's not a recommendation for anything other than when you're stuck on that transatlantic flight, 10 hours in, you've watched everything else, and this is on the list. You know, a couple hours of your time. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm going to be...
We can't even finish our sentences about the movie.
I'm going to be a little more generous and actually give it a 6 out of 10, mostly because everybody's treating this movie like it's the worst thing that's ever happened, you know, in the history of cinema. And I don't think it is. I think it's for all its problems, it's a reasonable movie. It's watchable. And, you know, I think of all the great actors in this movie, I mean, we forget, like, somebody like Naomi Harris, who is in the Bond movies and who we saw most recently in Moonlight. In this movie, she just fills up the screen with warmth. She's like a cloud of comfort. Her face on the screen is just like a That's cloud. True. It's like warmth emanating at you. And I just felt
it's
happy.
It's like it's saying, don't leave.
Yeah.
Don't leave the cinema.
So, and I'll watch Helen Mirren in a bad movie any day over somebody else in a good movie. So all of those things put together, 6 out of 10.
Yeah. Cliche ridden nonsense.
It's a good concept. It's too clunky.
All right. Okay. Movie number 3, I had to get away from that one as quickly as you can, is Allied. So, Yasti?
Yes, I'll be introducing it. Allied. So, Allied is directed by Robert Zemeckis, who seems to be churning out these movies one after the other. And, you know, if you're any manner of film lover, you should know Zemeckis because he's made some of the most fun movies of the last 30, 40 years. He made the Romancing the Stone movies. He made Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3. He did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He did Forrest Gump. He did Contact. He did Castaway. You know, this is an actor who really knows popular entertainment, and he knows how to make movies that are different and fun and still beloved by everybody. So here's his latest effort called Allied, and it stars Brad Pitt, Marion Cotillard, and Jared Harris is here. Lizzie Kaplan is here as well. And it's written by Steve Knight, who previously wrote movies such as Eastern Promises, Locke, and then last year's Burnt. And this is a period piece set in the mid-40s, I believe, and it tells a story of two different characters, a Canadian intelligence officer and a female French resistance fighter who are put together on a, you know, deadly mission. And when they reunite in London, you know, they decide to get married, and then certain secrets are revealed. I have not seen this movie. I missed the screening. So I'm really wanting to know from the two of you how the movie is. Keep in mind that Marion Cotillard, I think, might be the greatest living actor in my opinion. So
we'll try not to offend you too much.
Try
then.
Not to offend
me. Okay, so I've come to the conclusion that Brad Pitt can only do dark comedy because he made this great idea of a movie somewhat of a chore for me to watch and left poor Marion Cotillard acting her little heart out and unable to save the movie on her own. This felt like a poor man's mashup of Anthropoid and a wartime Mr. and Mrs. Smith at times. And I just couldn't get over the really bad cardboard-like acting from Mr. Brad Pitt.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. This was a real chore for me to watch, and it should have been devastating, I think. So it's a really good story. The premise is very good. So I'm really interested to see what you think, Joe.
So it's no Casablanca.
Well, and the thing is, it really, really wants to be. Yeah. You know, I think it's desperately, desperately trying to capture that
epic.
Well, not just that, but that kind of feeling that those wartime movies have. And look, it's not completely devoid of charm. I mean, you know, it's not like this movie doesn't have anything about it that's you know, unlikable. It's just, to your point, Rashmi, it's so frustrating because the premise of
a double agent potentially
is very, very fascinating. And considering that it had Zemeckis at the helm, I mean, he's a very accomplished filmmaker. I mean, he's dabbled into, you know, 101 different genres, and, you know, when he knocks it out of the park, he knocks it out of the park. So, again, this is another one that I'm kind of struggling to articulate how the movie failed to miss its, or rather missed its objectives, because I think on paper there's some pretty interesting script elements. It's just, I think, you know, there's a genuine lack of tension.
Really?
I think, you know, that's one of the things that I think the movie, there's a terrific sequence where, you know, Brad Pitt finds himself in France in a bar, well, in a a shootout. And at no point do I feel that he is in any real danger of being injured. And
right, and if you compare that to even that scene in the same type of bar situation in some ways in Inglourious Basterds, how on the edge of your seat were you in Inglourious Basterds?
Correct.
I mean, this is, you know, no tension.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of frustrating.
It's disappointing.
I mean, the other thing, Joe, that got me was, compare that first scene when Marion Cotillard and Brad Pitt, so, you know, they're both spies and they meet, and compare that, just that one scene, which is almost the same in a different location, to the first scene in The Debt when Jessica Chastain and I can't remember who the
Sam Worthington
meet. Same, almost scene for scene. It's that one scene, yeah, is the same sort of thing happening. My God, The Debt blew that out of the water.
Yeah. Yeah, to your point about Brad Pitt's acting here, I feel like he did kind of hang out
Cotillard to dry. This is emailed in. This isn't even phoned in.
Yeah.
It's so unlike him.
It's,
well, clearly the troubles with Angelina Jolie at home are playing on his mind.
I just don't think he was a good fit for this character.
I agree.
I think it's maybe a poor casting decision rather than, because they didn't have any real chemistry. And the thing that made it,
the thing, maybe that took, that's
the,
what
the
it
thing
is,
that took me out of the moment is, I'm not a stickler for accents. Maybe I am, but he didn't. He I didn't buy his. He's supposed to be, you know, he's undercover as a French, but it reminded me of that scene in Inglourious Basterds where, you know, he'll say something like "Buongiorno, vous," you know, and it's some kind of
horrible
accent. Terrible. But here it wasn't done tongue in cheek. It wasn't
here. It's done seriously.
It wasn't done with, you know, the Christoph Waltz character almost lampooning the idea that these guys are who they say they are. Here it's done, and these people around them don't seem to have any real problem with it. And I know in a French to kind of understand. It was just clumsy French, so it's bothersome.
Well, and the whole plot line in that scene relies on the fact that there's a very specific accent of that region that he has to master in order not to be found out that he's a spy or, you know.
Right.
But
that's again.
I think the other issue where it fails, so it's lack of tension. I think it's poor acting on Brad Pitt's part, but I think it's also that it's too melodramatic in the end, and I think it came off much more like a Lifetime movie, a made-for-TV movie than something that should have blown us away, because here you are, you're in a difficult situation, you go in as a spy, you're doing espionage, and you fall in love with the one person that you're not supposed to fall in love with. And then you're told many years later, this could be a spy. So, you know, that whole grappling with the fact that my whole life's been a lie. Does she love me? Doesn't she love me? Is she a spy? Isn't she a spy? That should have been jolting for us as an audience. We should have gone on that journey with him. I certainly didn't go on any journey. I'm kind of happy he left the train platform without me.
Oh, is that a spoiler?
Yeah, I mean, no, the movie is trying to be big, and that's really ultimately where it fails. I mean, you know, there's that one scene in the desert.
My God, it's awful.
Where, you know, they find themselves in a car in the desert, and then they get trapped in a sandstorm, and things get steamy. Again, not a major plot spoiler because you know that that's kind of coming, but it ends up being
almost laughable.
I mean, unintentionally so, because I'm just kind of cringing at, like, you know, okay, maybe we could have bought something like this, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, but modern audiences just aren't going to deal with that, and it doesn't work. I think most of us were kind of smirking rather than
cringing. I was cringing, actually. It was kind of awkward and embarrassing to watch.
So,
really?
Yeah.
Because you would think those two.
I know.
That's the thing. One would think that these two with this director, not a problem. But, yeah, there we go.
Okay, I'm going to wind this one up. So, great production and beautiful costume. Don't hide the fact that this isn't a good movie. Definitely a back of the planer, if at all. 4 out of 10.
Ouch.
Really? It's worse than Collateral Beauty?
You know, it is because I kind of expected more from this group of people and the context of what they're trying to get across. Collateral Beauty just looked bad going in.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm gonna give this one a 5 out of 10. I think it's on par with Collateral Beauty in terms of how clunky it is. And honestly, between the two, I would probably pick Collateral Beauty just because...
I would go and watch it.
Well, just because it's not trying... Well, maybe it is, but Allied is trying to be a really serious movie, you know, and I think the performances, anything else in Collateral Beauty, are a bit more convincing. So, yeah, there we go.
But you didn't expect that, Yasni.
No, I did not.
Yeah, it's a real shame.
Robert Zemeckis.
You're probably going to love it. You're going to watch it now anyway.
And then you'll curse us.
It's running 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Don't they have a hard time? I'm going to say, just you wait.
All right, let's wrap things up for today. Okay. Mail at movieworlders.com for comments. Twitter.com/movieworlders. Facebook.com/movieworlders as well. Let us know what you think of these movies. We definitely had a winner this week, and that was Miss Sloan.
Yes.
So get out and see that if you haven't already done so. Until our next podcast, 2 Movie Movies, 2 Little Time. A good night for me.
And me.
And me as well.